You're listening to Social 545, where we discuss what's trending in social media and interview weekly guests. Now, here are your hosts, Saba Siddiqui and Carlos Gill.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Social 545. My name is Saba, and joined with me today is my co-host, Carlos Gill.
Hey, what's going on, Saba? It's great to be here on another episode of Social 545 with you and with our listeners. And hey, for me, it's just good to be back in the hot seat right now, especially after traveling over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, things are moving fast. I know that our Snapchat directory has been growing exponentially. Do you want to tell the viewers, or the listeners, I should say, how many people are on this directory now?
Yeah, we have over 5,000 people in the Snapchat directory. And if you don't know what we're talking about, this was an experiment and an idea of mine just at the beginning of this year, in which I thought, you know what, it would be cool if there was a way for Snapchat users to be able to seamlessly connect with one another, because as we know, it's a little difficult to find people on Snapchat, especially if you don't know their username and if you're not crawling social media to find people's usernames and URLs. So if you go to snapchat.directory, again, the website is www.snapchat.directory, you can enter your username, and it takes less than 30 seconds to do, on a form, and by doing so, then you're able to download the directory. And essentially what happens is you get added to a directory. Like we said before, over 5,000 users are on there. We're growing at a very fast pace. This thing's only been around for about 6 or 7 weeks now. And from what we're hearing from other members in the community is that they're receiving hundreds of new friends and followers on Snapchat.
Yeah, I've heard the same type of feedback. We also do features every other day where we feature new accounts just to make sure that everyone gets enough exposure. The list has been growing so much that it is difficult to swift through it if you're not patient a little bit. But as an exclusive podcast, little tidbit, I guess you could say, we are going to be working on a new update that'll make it easier for all of you to find each other, to sort through the categories, and to be able to upload your snap code. So look out for that. It's coming very, very soon. We have listened to all of your feedback and we are ready to implement them.
Yep. You heard it here first. And you know, speaking of Snapchat, you know this, Saba, because I talked to you multiple times throughout the day, but I was at a conference earlier this week. It was actually the iMedia Brand Summit, in which I had a chance to actually lead a panel on Snapchat. And joining me on that panel was Beverly Jackson of MGM Resorts, as well as Peter Stringer of the Boston Celtics. And there was about 100 other brand marketers in the room. And I got to tell you, the excitement on the brand marketer level as it pertains to Snapchat is one that I have not seen, I think, ever. When Facebook and Twitter were still kind of a new thing, a lot of people were hesitant. But I think what's really cool is that marketers get social media, they get the impact of where social is headed and how it benefits their business. And it's going to be really exciting to see over the next 8 to 12 months how it pans out in terms of brands actually gravitating and adopting Snapchat as part of their marketing and social media strategy.
Yeah, and Monday, Snapchat gave businesses less of a reason to complain about Snapchat because they came out with geo filters. Now, this is very, very big news. Snapchat has been iterating, adding functionality, adding tools that a lot of users have been excited about. The lenses came out, the sponsored things came out, but this update in particular really excites marketers in terms of brands being able to use it. So let's talk through what the update is and how this is really going to be a game changer. So just to start with the basics, what is a geofilter? The geofilters are the lenses that you can swipe through so that you can basically have a branded postcard on your photo or video. And so what we have seen so far is usually location-based. It's usually a big brand that's, you know, purchasing one of these filters for a six-figure price tag. And so what they have done is they have made this accessible to everyone. So the way that it works is that it starts at $5 and anyone can have a geofilter. All that you have to do is you have to upload your own design or utilize the templates. And within 24 hours of your design being approved, it will go live.
That's a lot of references of they, Saba. And we're not about they. We're about us and we and how we can help the Social 545 community up their social game. Not about they. Just had to throw that in there. And if you don't know what we're talking about, we're ribbing on DJ Khaled, someone that we admire greatly. Which, by the way, DJ Khaled actually did retweet me last week, which was probably like the highlight of my year so far.
Oh, yeah. We should definitely mention that. That was big. I mean, he retweeted Kim Kardashian, then he retweeted Carlos. I mean, super
casual. Whoa. Carlos and Kim Kardashian mentioned in the same sentence. But anyways, let's get back on the topic. So, yeah, on-demand filters. Like Saba said, this is a monumental game changer, folks, in Snapchat, especially how brands use Snapchat. Because up until now, geo filters were reserved for either Snapchat and their curation team, which creates local filters for cities. And then you had brands that could sponsor filters, and the sponsor filters were somewhere in the neighborhood of six figures and above. So what we're talking about now is anyone, any brand, any individual, any small business, you can go to snapchat.com/on-demand. And it's really simple. There's three steps to create your own on-demand custom geo filter. And I'm going to walk you through these steps. So step one is design. What's really neat is that if you are not a designer, Snapchat actually has, what is it, about 12 different templates for you already pre-made?
Yes, exactly. So they have 12 templates, either in the Illustrator file or the Photoshop file. So these 12 range from birthdays, congratulations, weddings, and special events. So they're just basically, you have to change the text, but the design will stay the same.
Yeah, so there's 12 different filters. There's everything from weddings, anniversaries, to conferences, you name it. And these are 12 templates that Snapchat already provides. If you are not artistically savvy and if you don't have access to a designer, anyone can go in. You can customize them. It's really cool. The next step is that you can pick a time and set a geofence for your filter. So this is a really critical step here. So let's say that you have a small business and you want for anyone that visits your business, let's say you're a restaurant, you want anyone that visits your restaurant to go ahead and have access to see your geo filter. You, on a map, designate where you want that geo filter to be seen. So you can essentially draw a line around the business. And now anyone who is using Snapchat within that fence, if you will have access to the geo filter. The third step is you submit your geo filter to have it reviewed by Snapchat. But also, critical component here is that you essentially select how long you want for this filter to be seen by. So you can select it for an hour, you can select it for a day, and based on a couple of factors, one, the length of your filter, and two, the location. So the size of the geolocation, that's going to determine how much you spend on the geo filter. And I've seen costs as low as $5 for an hour. And I've also seen, as I was sharing with Saba, right now you can have a geo filter in Times Square for $70 for an hour. So what that means, friends, is you or I could essentially have a virtual billboard, which is within Snapchat on people's mobile devices in Times Square. How cool is that?
That's amazing. I think Snapchat giving accessibility to people at such ease really, I think, changes the game. And the fact that everyone is swiping through these lenses, I mean, if you talk through the impressions that these lenses get every single day, it's in the millions, because they have 100 daily active users, let's not forget. And there isn't 25 lenses that you can swipe through. Depending on where you are, there's maybe a maximum of 4 to 6 filters that are, you know, going on and active each day. And so if you are paying for one, just like Carlos mentioned, if you pay $70 for one in Times Square, there's probably 2 or 3 more that are going to be available that day as well. And so your impressions and the visibility that you create for yourself is very, very high. And this excites marketers, this excites businesses, and it really gives brands a reason to get on Snapchat. And it's very, very solidified by the fact that, you know, anyone can enter this space with a design.
Yeah, absolutely. I think where this is a big game changer is there's a lot of brands. And again, I was at a conference for the beginning part of this week, and I had several conversations with marketers around Snapchat, and the objections are always the same, and it's around scalability. How do you scale it? How do you essentially stand out on the platform? You know, all the same questions that people had with Facebook and Twitter early on. And while this is a small step in the right direction, it's not necessarily, I think, going to make every brand marketer out there rush to get their company on Snapchat. But I think what it's going to do is it's for those that have been on the fence, it's going to make them start looking at how they can have a slice of the pie on Snapchat. So if they're a retail location with multiple business locations around the U.S., for example, now they can invest in having advertisement placement on Snapchat without necessarily paying six figures or more.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. And the other thing I want to mention for, you know, if you're a brand, this is probably very important to you, is that Snapchat is going to provide you metrics. So obviously, during this submission process, Carlos mentioned the URL snapchat.com/on-demand is where you go and you kind of register this, you pay for it. And so once it's done running, you'll be able to get statistics on what the usability and the visibility of this geofilter was. And so what it tells you is how many people have used the geofilter, which is, I'm assuming it's whether they sent it to a person individually or they submitted it to their story, and also shows you how many views that lens got. And so views is basically they have swiped through it, but they didn't select it for their Snapchat. And so this is the first time, I think, Carlos, correct me if I'm wrong, the first time that Snapchat is really introducing some sort of analytics that is outside of, you know, the impressions that each of your stories receive.
Yeah, correct. It is the first time that they introduce analytics, which is really cool. And like you said, outside of the basic views and so forth. And again, it goes back to the reality, which is Snapchat is a new network, folks. It's only been out since 2011, is it, Saba?
Yes.
So newer social network. And I saw this happen with Facebook and Twitter, where right out of the gate, everyone wanted all these robust features. And we got to accept it for what it is. Snapchat offers functionality that is different and unique from probably every other social network out there. And my advice to marketers, to professionals, to anyone who's on the fence about Snapchat is just jump on and try it. Cross-promote with your other social networks. If you have an email database, reach out to your email contacts. Get as many people as you know aware that you're on Snapchat, because chances are they are on Snapchat. Again, that they word came up. And once you see that people are on and they're actually viewing your content, then you start to actually get excited about features like this. Right out of the jump, a brand marketer is automatically thinking about how am I going to monetize via Snap? And I think that's the bad approach. The right approach is, how do I use this platform for free, which is not costing me anything like Facebook and Twitter probably are? And then how do I build and scale from there? So again, bringing it back home to the geofilters, I think this is definitely a monumental shift in the right direction. But even bigger, Saba, is this is how Snapchat is now introducing us how they're going to be monetizing their platform, which up until now, the only way that they were really monetizing was through enterprise brands that were spending high six figures. And also they rolled out paid lenses, which that kind of came and went. But you got to imagine, they're really excited. And when you think about it, you've got 100 million daily active members on Snapchat. If at least 1% of those, if 1 million people were to spend $5 a day at the very minimum on a custom geo filter, that 5 million, multiply it by 365 days out of the year, now we're really looking at Snapchat as they're onto something.
One of the very commendable things about Snapchat for me is that they really understand how to watch the market and watch their users. They very, very diligently notice that having lenses that were paid for 99 cents wouldn't be able to scale properly. Once someone got the lens that they really liked, or, you know, they just picked one and then they didn't like it, they weren't going to come back for more. The geo filters that they created, this is a perfect way because it's scalable. You can constantly create new designs. You can find new ways to use these. And once again, I always say Snapchat empowers creativity. And there's nothing like really great lenses or geo-filtered lenses to really show that and showcase it. And so that's what I really love about Snapchat. They're very intentional. They really watch what their users are doing. They don't just try to roll out something very robust right out of the gate. They iterate, they start slow, and they do things very, very correctly. So that's what I really love about them. To your point about cross promotion, I just want to point out that I wrote this LinkedIn article about a week ago about why Snapchat has decided to not create discoverability within their app. And I talk about three reasons. So if anyone's interested in reading that, I think that's a good resource. I talk a lot about the platform being very content centric, the attention being very valued. And I give some examples of how very large influencers are actually cross-promoting their Snapchat accounts with their millions of with their following that are in the millions. So I think it just attests to how important Snapchat is as a platform. If large influencers are taking their other social networks that they've taken years to build on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, and they are smack down making their profile picture a snap code, and what that says about the value of Snapchat as a platform.
Absolutely. So I do want to point out, as we start talking about some use cases, we've already seen custom geo filters in a couple of different cases. And one of them is a conference where I was speaking at yesterday, which was May 16. It was an event organized by a local chapter of Meeting Professionals International. And I was in D.C. So Washington, D.C. has a whole slew of geo filters already. But Mace actually had their own custom geofilter, which was pretty cool. It was only accessible for those folks that were at the event in the convention center. So anyone that was essentially in the convention center could use it. But it was pretty cool actually seeing it live in action. And I think this is a great sign of things to come. You've got South by Southwest that's going to be occurring in a couple of weeks. You got Social Media Marketing World that's going to be happening shortly after that. And I think we're just, you know, scratching the tip of the iceberg in terms of being able to utilize this functionality at events.
Yeah, I agree. I think the timing is very well positioned for them. There's a lot of large events that are coming up. We're just, you know, getting into the meat of the year. And so there's a lot of things that are happening. One use case that I learned from someone that I was connected to on Anchor was he used this as a hiring and recruitment tool. And so he created a geo filter around his company, and he snapped about the ambiance of his office, what they offered, the different positions. And as soon as you knew it, a few days later, there was resumes rolling in. And this just shows the power of the geo filter in terms of location based. I know that's something that Carlos and I get asked very, very often by small businesses, brick and mortar stores, you know, how location based is Snapchat? People ask about adding people nearby. And this geo filter is actually one of the best ways to make sure that you are geographically constraining your audience. And so that's just a small use case, but I'm sure there will be many, many to come. And, you know, the geo filters are not just going to be for businesses. I know we're talking about it in that context right now, but people can use them if they're having a quinceanera or if they're having a wedding or whatever it may be. They just have a special event that they want to share memories with their friends and family. And so the amount of applicability is very, very wide. And one more thing I want to mention, Snapchat did update also their birthdays. And so If you, in your settings, you go and you make sure that your birthday is correct on your Snapchat account, on your birthday, you will have your own geo filter that you won't have to pay for. And so that's exciting. Just a little bit of a, I guess, teaser for those that aren't sure about the geo filters.
I like that you said quinceañera. I gotta give you props on that.
I don't know why I thought of that. I just feel like that's a very big deal when someone has a quinceañera.
I can tell you, like, so where I see this being big, honestly, like now you said that, and quinceañera is like the Spanish version, the Spanish people version of a sweet 16. But I can see moms, like my wife, for example, anytime little Gabby has a birthday party, I can already see it happening where we're gonna have a geo filter, which it's awesome. It like, you know, immerses parents and users of Snapchat into this platform in more of an augmented reality sort of way. But yeah, I do want to shift gears for a moment. While we do love Snapchat, you mentioned a platform by the name of Anchor, Saba. Tell us a little bit about this Anchor that you speak of.
Well, Anchor is a new platform that is audio message based. So the best way that I can describe it is think about a very long voicemail that you heard from someone, but with the addition of you asked a question first. So you're the one who initiated the thought or the conversation. And so basically you're putting out an audio message, whether you're asking a question, whether you're just sharing a thought, and people in your community are able to respond to you with an audio message. Now, I think one of the reasons why this is really catching the eye of a lot of people in the community that I'm in is because I think audio has become a very dominant way of communication. Right now, Carlos, we're recording a podcast. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there is a need. There are people that listen to this podcast. And I think audio allows there for the entry to be a little bit easier rather than video where you have to watch it. And so as attention in our world just decreases, I think we're trying to find ways to communicate with each other mm-hmm. that is a little bit easier. And so I've been playing around with Anchor for about, I think, a week and a half, 2 weeks now. I'm going to be doing an experiment where I take one brand every single day next week that is not on Snapchat, and I just talk through a 2-minute Snapchat strategy for them. I've had great feedback. I post a lot about, you know, a quote that I really like or just a thought that I have about business or social media. And so it's really just a way to have conversation with different people in your community.
So you know where I stand on this. And I just joined Anchor literally a few minutes before we jumped on and recorded this podcast. And this is a newer network. But here's my thing. It really reminds me on the surface almost like Periscope, but just voice only, because it's one-way dialogue. It's one-way communication. Whereas what I like about what we're doing here with the podcast is we're going back and forth. It's more of a fluid conversation as opposed to just up to 2 minutes worth of audio. And then I've also shared this with you. If someone wants to hear my voice, they can go on Snapchat. And they can hear my voice, but they can also see me at the same time, which I know it's completely different because Snapchat's 10 seconds, Anchor's 2 minutes, but that's just kind of like where I'm on the fence with this. And then you mentioned voicemail, which is a really good point. I really don't even like listening to my voicemails. In fact, I've got 19 voicemails on my phone right now that I have not listened to, which I know sounds really, really bad. So maybe it's just like the older millennial in me that's coming out, but how do you convince someone that they should be looking at Anchor as perhaps a really good utility or tool in their business?
You know, I think I'm still experimenting right now, Carlos. I think for me, I'm just trying to understand how it works. I think there's some functionality that they've built that creates a little bit more discovery, which helps because it's always about growing your network outside of the current mm-hmm. community that you have. I know we've talked about this in previous episodes. And so that's one element that I really, really like. The fact that I can use hashtags and people can search based on that, based on their interests, and they can discover me. And so that is really important for me, that I'm not just taking one part of my community and transferring it over. In terms of a business, I think the way I think about it right now, it's a lot of thought leadership. It's a lot of, you know, here's my thoughts. What are your thoughts? In terms of business applicability, I don't know if it's there yet. I do see that the demographic on there is much older. It's not exactly a millennial audience in terms of there's not a bunch of 14, 15, 19, 20-year-olds that are deciding to create voice messages. And so I think that just attests to the fact that people are really using it as thought leadership and crowdsourcing information rather than, oh, this is really entertaining or fun, like a platform such as Vine or Snapchat in the beginning.
Very cool. All right, so shifting gears from Anchor, I know you wanted to chat a little bit about Instagram and their new rollout of viewability metrics.
Yeah, so Instagram, we haven't talked about them much, but obviously it is a very, very important platform among the marketing community, among just the world, honestly, the global community on social networking. And so they came out with two updates. One is a little bit older, a few weeks out, and one is very, very recent. So the first one that's a little bit older is being able to switch through multiple accounts. This is something that people have been asking for years. Most people have more than one Instagram account that they manage. A lot of brands have this issue where, you know, they manage multiple Instagram accounts. And so this really allows you to just with one click be able to access all of those, which sounds maybe very trivial. But if you are someone that has more than one Instagram account, this has become a huge time saver. And so that's the first thing. I don't really want to dwell on that one too much. The second one is the video views. Now, this is interesting because they only rolled it out for videos on Instagram. And so what they're doing now is instead of showing you how many people liked that video, what they're doing is they're showing you how many views the video received. And if you click on that number, then you will be able to see how many likes that the video received. So one of the important things about this rollout is that they're focusing on video, which is very, very important. We're obviously seeing a big shift in the video with 360 video, with Facebook. I mean, every platform is becoming very bullish about it. The other reason it's important is that anytime a platform can provide more analytics, the better content that that account can put out there. And so I think this is a really great step in the right direction. Obviously, Instagram is a very mature platform at this point. They have a lot of advertising they're doing. A lot of the content that you're going to see might not be native to people that you follow, but having the video views gives not only people that are on Instagram viewing, but also the people that are putting out content, just a look inside really how many impressions this content receives.
Yeah, you know, I've been a fan of Instagram for years now, and I gotta say the community on there is really engaged a lot. And I often compare Instagram to being the Hallmark card of social media. And you know, honestly, Saba, as a end user, it's important for me to actually see if people are viewing my content, because I have a fundamental belief that if people aren't viewing your content, it's probably because either one of two reasons. One, your content isn't all that good, or B, your community just isn't engaged. You're not feeling you. And if that's the case, you know what? That's an indication that you need to up your content marketing game. But as a brand, I think it's even more important, because let's face it, you know, I work for a brand on a day-to-day basis. And anytime I'm, you know, my team and I are putting out content, whether it's organic content or whether it's paid social content, what's gonna make a difference at the end of the day is this content being viewed more than anything. And I think this all plays back to Facebook's broader strategy, which is really being the most dominant advertising platform online. I've often said that Facebook eventually is going to own and rule the internet, not Google. And I think this is just another play in that direction. Give advertisers, give people access to data. And what that's going to do is psychologically inspire them to pay to get more impressions, because let's face it, the vanity metrics still do mean something to people out there.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting question, right? Are views vanity metrics? And I think in Instagram's case, they are not. I think that a view on Instagram is actually worth a lot, because you only see one thing on the screen at a time. You can't really see multiple things. And so I think for that reason, the attention on there has always been so much higher, because they've been able to figure out how to put something in front of someone without them being able to really move away from it unless they saw it, which is very, very important. Unlike other platforms where people can actually just scroll through things, such as Twitter, where you're going to see multiple posts on your page at once, you know, was the impression really there? Was it not? Was that person looking? I think it takes out all of that clutter and that fluff, and that's what Instagram is really good at.
Agreed. So you say that views are not vanity metrics, but I also want to go ahead and throw this curveball at you. Views can also be gamified. And what I mean by that is you can use a combination of hashtags, as we see on Instagram, to get more likes. You can also go ahead and pay for views as well. So I like to stay on the side of caution. I'm a little bit conservative when it comes to that, because the numbers I really look at are clicks. And conversions. I think that's ultimately what matters most to me. But again, I'm a different marketer. I look at it a little bit deeper in the funnel than just what I see on the surface.
I definitely agree that there are a lot of ways to gamify the system. I think with anything that becomes so valuable, people are going to want to try to infiltrate it somehow. And so obviously you're not going to take it with 100% certainty, but I think just the fact that they're giving users this visibility as to how many views something is getting versus just keeping it on the back end, I think is something that is valuable for an everyday user as well as a marketer or a business who's actually investing a lot of money and resources into creating content on Instagram.
Agreed. Cool. So as we look to wrap up this episode, we talked about a few things here. We talked about Snapchat and geo filters. We talked about Anchor and Instagram. I feel like we might be missing something, and we haven't touched on Facebook emotions.
So I have a lot of mixed feelings about I guess I have a lot of reactions regarding the Facebook reactions. I'm not going to go too deep into it. All I'm going to say is that I am not a fan. I don't like the way they have rolled it out. And I do not like the UI that they rolled it out with. I don't think it looks professional. And I was talking about this yesterday on my tech show. I think it feels like they're trying to put BuzzFeed into my Facebook feed and it doesn't work. And so for me, I think I have a problem with the execution of this. They recently came out with an article saying that they have been working on this product change for 2-3 years, which is almost embarrassing for them. But, you know, Facebook has to iterate. Facebook has to evolve. Facebook has to stay relevant. And so I understand. And I'm not a huge Facebook user. I don't spend a lot of time on there. I don't post a lot of things on there. And so for me, you know, it's just a backseat opinion on how I feel.
Yeah. You know what? I'm impartial. To me, it doesn't really make a difference all that much. Now that I've seen how they work, you know, I just think it adds a little bit more of a cartoonish element to Facebook. I think ultimately, going back to what I said before with Instagram, Facebook's trying to be the major player in terms of online advertising. And I think the more data that you have in terms of how people react to certain content, what this is going to turn into is just another advertising metric for brands that are on Facebook. So you can then eventually be able to target people that react sad to content, excited to content, and so forth. Like I said, to me, I don't think it makes much of a difference. We already use emojis and how we communicate on social media. So this is just another step in that direction for me.
Yes, I agree. Let's remind everyone where they can follow us on social media. I know that we post a lot on certain networks. If you guys want to connect with me or follow me, or, you know, you have a question, you have a comment, there's an episode you really like, there's an episode that you disagree with, make sure to hit us up. You can find me on Snapchat, Saba Sidili, or you can just snap my code on my Twitter banner. I am also on Twitter. You can engage with me there. And I'm also now on Anchor. So reply to one of my anchors, send me a wave, and tell me what you think of it.
Yeah, so to echo what Saba said, I'm on Snapchat as well at TheCarlosGill, as well as on Twitter at CarlosGill83. And once again, just want to remind you guys out there to subscribe to the podcast here on iTunes each and every week. Drop a review for us. We really appreciate the love. And if you want to grow your presence on Snapchat, the website is snapchat.directory. And also, if you've been listening to this episode along with previous episodes and you're still on the fence as it pertains to Snapchat, let's take care of you. We do have a course which is on Udemy. The URL is udemy.com/Snapchat course. And you can use coupon social545 to save yourself some money when you register for that course. So until next time, friends, this has been fun as always, Saba. And we'll do it again next week.
Bye, everyone.
Peace.
You've been listening to Social 545. Be sure to tune in weekly to stay in the know of what's trending in social media.